Hello, and welcome to the European Patients Podcast, your source for conversation and news around the world of patient advocacy and patient empowerment. This podcast is brought to you by the European Patients Forum, the leading voice of patient organizations in Europe. My name is Flavia. I am the communications manager for EPF and the host on today's pod. For first-time listeners, I kindly ask you to hit the subscribe button so you can stay up to date with the most relevant and important patient stories, policy matters, and events surrounding healthcare in Europe. Today's episode will bring into the spotlight one of our long-standing projects, Iatris Plus. Iatris Plus aims to build further capabilities and deliver innovative scientific tools to support the long-term sustainability strategy of Iatris as one of Europe's key research infrastructures for personalized medicine. As the project will come to an end in December 2023, we invited Oriana de Sousa to sit with us and reflect how meaningful patient engagement took shape throughout the activities of the project. Oriana is a patient advisory committee representative in the Iatris Plus project. A survivor of rare cancer, she's now a patient advocate and UPATI certified patient expert. Oriana recently completed training in scientific innovation and translational research with Eurordis. Her advocacy focuses on childhood AYAs and small cells ovarian cancer. She's part of the Rare Tumors of the Ovary Network and Genomics in Oncology Patient Expert Net, and an ambassador for the EU CariasNet project. Oriana collaborates with diverse stakeholders, amplifying patient voices and championing a patient-centered approach.
Welcome, Oriana.
Hi, Flavia. Thank you for the invitation for being here with you today.
Well, it's great having you. So let's just dive in into today's topic. For how long have you been involved in the Iatris Plus project, and what is your role, and what are some highlights you want to share with our listeners?
I joined Iatris Plus in the end of 2020. The kickoff meeting, I guess it was in November 2020. I'm one of the members of the Patient Advisory Committee. Basically, one of the sub-goals of the Iatris Plus project is driving patient empowerment. So this is the idea behind to form this committee. Basically, the Patient Advisory Committee members' role is to ensure the patient perspective would be delivered. And we had a main goal to support developing a patient involvement toolkit for translational research. During the project, we had different activities depending on our interests and availability. We had meetings to give insights. We could support on communication, for example, helping with content for the website or drafting the agenda for some events, or even giving interviews. As highlights, the first three things that pop up into my head are our participation in Iatris Plus Summer School in 2021. So we were on pandemic by that time, so it was online. But we had a presentation about how patients can be involved in research. And we actually had a workshop after we called like a satellite session. With breakout sessions to be more interactive and to discuss with the researchers that were there about how to involve patients if they had worked with patients before. So this is one of the things. And another one was last year in Malaga, this time was in person, for the annual conference. Again, we had the chance of having a round table, and our internal meetings there were also to discuss what we had in our heads already to help us making this toolkit. And of course, the third thing is the Patient Engagement Resource Center that it was launched recently. We helped building the content, and some of us actually gave a testimony about our experience with research.
I know you've had a unique patient journey, being the first patient treated with immunotherapy for small cells ovarian cancer. Would you like to share some reflections you picked up during that journey? Would you do something different, for instance, if you were to start over?
Well, picking my own story, I guess the main reflection I can have is how the right treatment in the right dose and in the right time, it's game changer, but how hard it was to achieve it. And unfortunately, when we listen from patients facing a life-threatening or a rare condition, we often listen them telling how hard it is to navigate the scarcity of information. The decisions are not shared with them, the many barriers they have to face to access a treatment, and all of these while the time is running against them. So many patients may be now missing the right treatment, not because the treatment does not exist, but because all of these barriers. So basically, if I think about my journey, I'm not sure if there is a lot of things I could have done differently, because I was in 2011 and it was a life-threatening condition. And even if I had more information, by that time, some of the drugs that are now on the market were not. So I guess hopefully I had a happy ending. And I think maybe the only thing I would change was the fact that it took me some months to find some online communities with other patients. So I would like to have done that before and maybe find patient organizations and patient advocates to support me better.
What does your role as a patient advocate entail?
As a patient advocate, my goal, or I try at least, to contribute to shape a better future for patients in terms of treatment and care. What I've been doing has changed a little over time. Initially and before training, I was doing more direct support to patients and sharing my story. Nowadays, I still do it, but after getting some training, I have been more involved with different stakeholders, such as industry, non-profitable organizations, to be part of projects and patient advisory boards. So in these initiatives, I'm consulted, for example, to discuss aspects in clinical trials, always trying to give the patient's perspective. And currently, I'm on an European project that is very significant for me. Just to give you an idea, this project is focused on childhood cancer patients and adolescents and young adults with cancer or survivors. And we are trying to identify the gaps to be filled or the good practices that already exist to make the care of survivors and young people more inclusive and personalized.
Earlier this spring, and you already mentioned it before, the ATRIS Plus project launched the Patient Engagement Resource Center, which is an easy to navigate platform that features publicly available guidance, training, and practical tools to help researchers get started with patient engagement, particularly in those very early stages of biomedical research. How would you describe this, the Patient Engagement Resource Center, to a patient who is new to the world of research?
I think I would start by asking the patient, this new patient, if he or she would like to share with me the experience of his own journey. So to check if the patient could disclose some unmet needs, or if this patient couldn't disclose, I probably would make some direct questions to try to check the preferences. For example, if he would prefer to receive the drug in a different way, like a pill instead of infusion, whatever. And by having this information, I could explain to the patient, look, this drug, for example, is in the market, on the market as a pill, because some patients are working closely to researchers and make it. So I think giving an example to open the Pandora box, let's say, and then I would explain how research can be improved, and we know nowadays how important it is to involve patients, but still we don't have a lot of organizations able to do it, because we need to standard guidelines, we need good practices. And for that reason, a group of patients were involved in the IEEE+ project, helping to make this website that is a faster way for researchers who are interested in involving patients to know how to start and find the materials that are already addressing this. And that this website is also good for patients who are interested in research, start learning some of these concepts. For example, they can also access the materials, they can go to the facts or watching the testimonials. So I would be happy if in the end the patient would have in his mind the motto of nothing for us without us, because I guess that is the principal message.
And if we were to switch tables, what could researchers do to make patient engagement more meaningful?
Well, I would say for them to start going to the to the website, to the patient resource center. Well, I'm kidding, but yeah. Then I would suggest to a researcher who is trying to work with a patient that be sure he wants to do it, be passionate about it, and try to understand that this is not an easy process, because we know from patient side as well that these collaborations are not that easy. So that's why the materials and the guidelines are so important. And from my perspective and listening to other patients, building trust and being clear about the goals of the project, be transparent, is super relevant. Taking care about the language. One thing that is very common is that patients say that they don't want just to do the exercise of ticking boxes. So even if the researcher has in mind a project, it's important that to be open to other ideas that come from the patient side, to reduce this feeling of just ticking boxes, and to try to have something that is really from the patient and not based on their initial ideas, because we know that patients can find things that are so specific that the researcher will not think about it.
And as a concluding question, how do you think the patient of the future will be in terms of ownership of their health? And what can we do today to build towards that future?
Well, I will pick the last part of your question to start. In our communities and more broadly in our society, I think we desperately need to put more effort to improve health literacy. I don't have a crystal ball, but I would like to think that as we are going through a phase in which the approach is moving towards personalized medicine and care, more and more people and more people are becoming educated as patient advocates. I would like to think people will feel supported, empowered, and educated to take their decisions in the future. Furthermore, the transformation we are living regarding digital solutions and even artificial intelligence will probably play a huge role in that sense too.
Thank you again, Oriana, for being with us today. Your story, going from patient to patient advocate, is truly inspiring. We were happy to learn more about the Iatris Plus project and the Patient Engagement Resource Center, the platform released within the project that features publicly available guidance, training, and practical tools to help researchers get started with patient engagement, particularly in early stages of biomedical research. That's it for today's episode of the EU Patients Podcast, your source for all things related to patient advocacy in Europe. Until next time, stay up to date on all EPF news by following us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button for this podcast and keep up with the European pulse of patient advocacy.